Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. It has finally come out in North America, and oh my god, it's the best movie I've ever seen in my life! All that I'm ordered is that we have no control over!
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club! Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
All right, guys, before we get started into this episode, we gotta do a little bit of housekeeping, just a skosh. I promise we're going to get to the content soon, but we have a contest that we are putting on for the Stranded Panda Network. You know, we've bribed you in the past for reviews. Like, we'll give you a t-shirt, or rather, we'll put you in a drawing for a t-shirt, and we're hoping that that sort of thing will work again, but it's not a t-shirt this time. We're going a little bit bigger. We're going to the next level. We're going to be giving one lucky winner their choice of an Oculus Quest 2 or a Nintendo Switch. All you have to do is follow one of the Stranded Panda shows on Apple Podcasts if you're on iPhone, or iTunes if you're on your PC. They all work for that. And give a 5-star review to a Stranded Panda podcast. If you give multiple reviews and subscribe to all of them, that's multiple entries. We have several shows. Basically, what we're trying to do is getting you into said several shows, because we have a ton of wonderful shows, much like Animation Deliberation. Thanks, Zoo.
You're welcome.
So all this to say, Apple Podcast subscribers and followers and reviewers, it helps all of our podcast visibility across all the platforms. So it's basically about getting all of you pandas out there to check out the other shows, help us find more pandas to come be a part of this community, because all of that increases the global visibility, brings everybody together. We're all stranded together, right? That's what the panda community is about. So in the past, the most reviews that we've gotten from a contest like this is about 40 or so. And we're hoping to get a lot more this time. But, you know, it's experimental. So it might kind of be, the odds might kind of be more in your favor. If you want to think about it like that, they might not be as much in your favor. The odds are going to be ridiculous for a prize of this size, though. Because we're talking like a $300 prize. That's crazy for something like this. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, like if you don't have an iPhone, you don't have a Mac, if you have any Apple device anywhere, if you have an iPad, whatever, you can use Apple Podcasts there. But also, I personally am a Windows user and have shunned iOS my entire life. And I can tell you from experience, iTunes does work for this. I can open iTunes on my Windows PC right now and go leave a review, and knowing my luck, I will probably be the one randomly picked for the thing, and then we'll have to do the drawing again. That's what happened last time.
It really did.
I'm not mad. I promise. Not bitter. So, instructions for you. Go to strandedpanda.com/contest. You'll find instructions, a link for every show on there. It's the Apple Podcast page of all of those shows. You can click on it, hit follow, write a 5-star review. Every show you do this for is going to get you another entry, more than one entries. We will then announce the winning username at the end of the month, at the end of September. We will be announcing this. There are a couple of rules as far as what you have to do as part of your review. Do not mention the prize in your review because, well, that's, you know, kind of sleazy, I guess. It's kind of sleazy of us to ask for it, but, you know, that's beside the point. We'll just sweep it under the rug. As long as you don't tell, I won't. We've had people in the past that are like, 5 stars, I did this for a shirt. That kind of thing's not going to count. That's not going to cut it here. Don't say anything negative about the show that you're reviewing. You know, it seems kind of obvious, but we've had it happen before.
Somebody will have to say it, but...
Yeah, I hate that this has to be a thing. But don't rag on the show like, oh, I'm just, you know, hate these guys, but just doing it for a thing. You're not going to get the thing. So, that being said, even if you only go and just review the other shows, I really hope that you check out these other shows while you're there. You know, if you want to say something just loving about the Stranded Panda Network, cool. But really, these shows are all quality. You know, these guys put a lot of work into these other shows. And, you know, there are so many verses, so many nerdy verses out there that are being covered by everybody in the Stranded Panda Network. And I really appreciate all the work that the other guys do to keep those other shows running so that I don't have to. Thank you.
you can just guest show up. Them.
Man, it's so great to just show up, lend my voice to a thing, and get to talk about something fun and exciting, and then walk away from it and not have to worry about it. I love that you guys offer that platform for me.
Amazing.
And as exciting as this grand prize is, a great consolation if you don't win is knowing that your 5-star review gave us a smile.
Yep, because we read them all. Good or bad, we read them all.
Sure do.
And Ashley has a brief list of people that she's going to visit and probably murder.
I'll find you.
Every time.
Yo, I will join you.
All right, so...
I won't need to do much work, but I'll be there.
All that said, go and review these...
With no further ado.
Go and review these shows. Leave them a good comment, and we'll consider you in the running for a Nintendo Switch or Oculus Quest 2. Your choice if you win. It's a hell of a thing. And
yeah, if you have one, you can sell it. I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah, it's win-win. And then... You know, you're also helping out the people that you love and potentially finding more good content to listen to. Like, come on. Anyway, speaking of content, let's get to ours. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Jeff Randall.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
And in our chair today, being our producer, our man in the ring, our resident martial arts expert, correspondent, we have Zuhair Ali from the Animation Deliberation Podcast. How you doing, Zuh?
I am doing fantastic. I am excited. I am ready to talk. This movie was so good.
Right? I am
so good.
Stupid excited to talk about this movie. We all just saw it in theaters, and we just, like, I had to rush home, like, as fast as I could, driving much like we saw in the movie, because I, too, have an electric car. And we'll get more on that later.
I was like, I want to go buy another ticket right now. And my friend was like, you can. And I was like, no, I have to cast tonight. I can't. But, oh my God, why am I leaving right now? I don't want it to be over. It's so good.
Right?
It was fantastic.
It was such a good movie. So we're going to do spoiler-free to start, you know, spoiler-free for a few minutes for the people who may not have seen it. What are you doing here, though?
So, run. Don't walk. Run to your theater.
Yes. Oh, my Lord. Like, okay. We have been in a situation here on Earth that you may have heard of called a global pandemic. coronavirus, COVID-19, has been devastating the world and pushed back some things. And I am offended that we did not get this movie sooner because of that. This movie was worth the wait. It was worth all the theaters being shut down. This took me back to the Jackie Chan days in the 90s, where I was like, give me Operation Condor. I want Rumble in the Bronx. I want Mr. Nice Guy. Give me Legend of Drunken Master. All of it. It was... They broke barriers here, you guys. They went into a new genre. They gave me a kung fu movie. I was so happy.
It's very important that they nailed those fights, because when your movie is about this, like, you have to get those fights. And I really like that they weren't afraid to not do it all in slow motion.
Yes.
We've seen so many movies where everything's so slow, and they did not hold back. They were, no, sa.
It was so happy. Fluid and just perfect. And I know, Zoo, you want to talk a lot about it. Do you have non-spoiler things to talk about with the fights and the choreography especially?
A lot of attention to detail. There was a lot of motions and stuff and a lot of movements. Like, a particular character was using a style. I was literally teaching that in class last night. So, I was teaching a specific form in class last night. And when I was watching, I was like, oh my god, like, this is fresh in my head right now. Like, I'm understanding what they're going for, how they're moving. It's the relationship, and to be able to be a martial artist and watch the movie and actually, like, be able to break down what's happening without slow motion in those fast paces, seeing the consistency and style, and seeing, like, the attention to detail and the appreciation for the art that they were using and maintaining that consistency was just so beautiful, so well done. All the music was appropriate to what was happening on the scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was, man, like, the characters had swag when they needed, but they were, like, respectful of the culture when they needed, and it was, I'll go more into detail stuff, but they did not, like, waste any time on this. They were very particular about what went where and how they did it. It was, I had to crack the joke in the theater too. I was like, I wonder if production wrapped up on this quicker because they were all wearing masks, so maybe, like, the ninjas didn't have problem recording, but...
Well, see, the joke that I wanted to go with was, it seems that they didn't pull their punches.
Oh.
Yeah, my joke was worse. so, like, they went all out, and it showed. It showed that they got the right people in the right places, doing the right jobs, and every bit of this movie was perfection in every way that I could. Like, oh my god. So it's not a spoiler to say that Tai Chi is just gorgeous to watch happen. It is so beautiful to see that. And watching Michelle Yeoh do that was just like, oh, this lady. Woo! Woo! So I don't know that I could say anything else that's not spoilery other than run, like Ashley said, run, don't walk. If you're walking to the theater, you're doing it wrong. You're not getting there fast enough. It is beautiful and exhilarating, and I am so pumped to know anything about the verse that they're portraying here. Ah, so.
Insomniatic Prattle says that it was like a ballet to them.
It was so. It was such a ballet, and it was so pretty. Like, oh my god! Okay. We gotta get to the spoilery stuff and talk about the good stuff. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, go. We're talking spoiler chat in 3, 2, 1, go.
God, I don't even know where to start.
Well, yeah. We'll go off what the chat says. Catherine Ray brought up a great point. One of the most important parts for me, besides shirtless emu, was that they didn't shoehorn a love story. And
oh, shit!
Thank God that they didn't do that.
Right?
Well, it's about time that they start showing that men and women can just be friends.
Yeah.
Like, maybe something will blossom, maybe it won't. But it, like, I have a lot of guy friends, and they don't show that enough, and it's like, yes, you can have an entire storyline like that.
Wait,
and it's
Ashley,
wonderful.
Are you trying to tell me that you and I are not in a deeply committed relationship right now?
Work husband.
Okay, yeah, okay, that makes more sense. It's that work-wife relationship. You always develop that with the one person. That's us.
Ashley has a like big sister vibes for me, so I can't even joke about that.
Drunk aunt.
Getting real strong big sister vibes off of Ashley here. So yeah, that like seeing the character of Katie and Chang-Chi getting to be just friends and not just in that, you know, will they, won't they kind of way. It was like solidly, firmly in the we are friends and we're both okay with that. Like, nobody had a secret, anything. She leaned up on him at the end, and, like, you know, she had her head on him, like, boy, that was tough. I'm tuckered. He was like, me too, champ. Like, and they just leaned on each other. Like, it was so beautiful. I was, like, at that moment, though, when Aunt Nan was saying her monologue, or saying her monologue about, you know, we're giving thanks and honoring the people who gave up their lives so that we could live on another day, and like they put they floated the lights out in there, I was just like bawling. I was like, it's okay to cry. I think
I was genuinely tearing up on that point as well. It was a very recurring theme as well, because she spoke about it on her own terms, but for his dad to have that dialogue at the dinner table as well, like, hey, your original Chinese name is like your link to your culture, so the emphasis on like where you come from. And we also forget like how old he is despite all the emphasis, but when they were having the showdown and he was like, watch your mouth, boy, and he's talking to like this really old dude, it was like he's actually seen the progression of generations and like understanding where he comes from and emphasizing that like to the people around him. And for them to like end it on that note of like, truly everything has led up to your life being the way that it is, and your essence and like how you live your life is going to be going down to the generation before, so like take in what your people before you have learned and make sure that you like savor that.
Oh, that's such a, it was, I like that that wasn't necessarily like a such a strong like beat you over the head theme, but like the more you sit with it, the more you understand that like, man, ancestry and continuation of culture and like, and having those rituals that that you do day in, day out, you know, and having that that lifestyle is like so important. And
don't push your religion on me.
I'm not I'm sorry,
I don't do any of that.
Okay.
For everyone else that didn't resonate, like, you're not alone. I'm sitting here like, oh wow, I didn't catch.
No, I love that they got to have their own culture and not have it like Americanized or or even
worse.
It's
nice to see that in film now, and we're starting to move
right
more towards being culturally accurate. Finally,
yeah, finally, and it like even better that they didn't go like caricature of it, you know. And, like, do the absolute worst version of, that they possibly could have. Like, it felt authentic. I say that as a like, very, like, pale white man. It felt authentic. Like, I'm obviously a...
That luck dragon.
Oh. I'm obviously a... I'm a source of, you know, context for this. Like, clearly I'm an expert. That was the joke.
I know.
From the guy who actually came over from a third world country, one of the cool things that was like a sweet balance between like culture and modern culture was the fact that he had this amazing cultural dragon scale vest, and he's wearing jeans and Jordans.
Yes, I loved it.
I was
so
like,
much.
Whoa, my Jordans got beat up in a week or like a month of playing basketball with him. How the hell was he riding dragons and kicking people and going underwater and they're still in pristine shape? Hats off to you for that.
That's what they were intended for.
But yeah. the embrace and actually balancing like what's important between the two cultures and putting that in his portrayal, in his design, in his demeanor was just so well done.
It was perfect. Like, one of the scenes that I keep thinking about, I keep looking back to, was when he asked Aunt Nan, or he said to her, like, Mom was the only one that could beat him. Mm-hmm. Tell me how she, or show me how she did it. And she was like, okay, well, you know, I can't teach you Tai Chi in a day, but we can go through some motions.
All those motions.
It was so, oh God. Like, when she started it and you saw the very strong difference in his fighting style, the way that he, you know, locks into his opening stance, and it's like, it's all aggressive and strong and angles, and she's like, everything is curves and flowing and like organic and natural, and the like seeing those two clash and then watching him slowly become more open to it and more flowing, like
he's very handsome.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Very handsome.
If you want to see more of him and you're disappointed that you can't watch him on your small screen, go watch Kim's Convenience on Netflix, because you will see a lot of shirtless him in there. But in regards to the Tai Chi stuff, in Filipino martial arts and Kali, there's a, like, our version of shadow boxing is called Sayaw, which actually means to dance. So those motions and stuff, like, there's intent behind what they're moving. Like, they are all attacks. They are all purposeful. There's, like, they're playing imagination. Like, they have, like, an imaginary bad guy that they're kind of, like, going against. Or, like, kind of like a mirror effect. So us calling it Sayaw, which means dance, and it actually being a dance between the two of them and feeling each other's forms and motions and technique. It was so beautiful.
I feel like that's all we're going to keep saying about this movie. It was just so pretty.
Yeah, what is a fight if not a dance between two people? It all flows the same. That's why I like Tai Chi, because it's so flowy.
Was that a Game of Thrones reference?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. I see where you got that from, though. The sword instructor, the water Arya's teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Syrio? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The water dancing, water right? Dancing. That's what he calls it? Yeah.
What do we say to death?
Oh my God. And like, I love that we get that, or that we get that kind of segue, because that was called water dancing. We're talking about Tai Chi being the dance, but like, water was such an important part of the fight with the dragon. Like, everything that the dragon did involved a water attack. And
it's cool.
When they went from the maze, like the bamboo maze, which was a great sequence, when they went from the bamboo maze through the waterfall into the tunnel and then went through the wormhole, I guess, to other universe.
Yeah, they showed that in King Kong. That's what that is. They're all over the place.
Didn't you know?
I couldn't stop laughing when they went through the waterfall, because my friend tapped me. He was like, that's some really good Rain-X.
Yeah. Well, like, it hit and then it turned to something else and just fluttered away. But we saw what seemed to be like a sling ring portal.
Out of water.
But water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
like,
cool.
It was such a cool effect. And like, when I saw it happen on screen, it was like water in midair, like swashing. And I was like, no, that's the sling ring. What? And like, it shows that there's other... You know, if we recall from Doctor Strange, you know, the magic that they do is just pulling energy from other universes or other dimensions and using that. So obviously they're using a different form of that magic from a different place in order to do that. And like, that's so genius.
The whole fire water of it all.
I
love it.
And the juxtaposition of the fire and water of it, like, oh, it's genius. I was so happy with that.
The energy of the sling ring was also like when they put the jade eyes into the dragon and they were like mapping it out, like that looked like the same color and the same spark that the sling rings do. And I was like, ooh, that's a nice touch. But yeah, the consistency, like, we know that the 10 rings are from space. We know vibranium is from space. We know that magic comes from different dimensions. We know that in Asgard, like, it is science and magic, like, put together. It's so they're showing the consistency. They're showing that everything is, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm. Get out of here with that term.
Well, and they said that the rings weren't alien, right?
They didn't say that they weren't alien.
Because it'd be more interesting if they were from a different dimension.
I mean, that's still alien. Alien just means different, right?
Yeah.
Or foreign.
Space alien. But
alien means...
Don't you quote WandaVision at me.
It was Roswell, actually, 1997 CW.
Okay.
Where are you from? New Mexico?
What's
higher?
What's above New Mexico?
Thank you, Roswell fans. Thank you.
The one other that. Roswell fan.
With Jason Barron and Brendan Fair.
Validation.
I would always like to say.
It's okay. It's okay to be validated. I'm happy for you. I'm happy you found your validation.
While we're talking about the Wong of it all and stuff.
The Wong of it all.
This movie made me really excited for the future because it just seems like everything in Phase 4 is orbiting around Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Like every little thing, like so far, besides like maybe Loki, but that's multiverse. So everything's kind of all talking and going to this head. And we're meeting all these really powerful characters and we're getting the Eternals. And I don't quite know what that's going to be about, but I feel like they're setting us up for some massive bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, who is going to be so, like, it's just so exciting.
Did you get an Eternals trailer before Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, my God. Was it the one that had the deviants in it?
Yeah, I geeked.
Oh, my God.
I started squealing. Yeah.
I was, like, I was so ecstatic to see that on the big screen. Like, because I've watched it however thousands of times on this two monitor setup. But, like, seeing it large like that and like
that Celestial was intense.
That Celestial was so intense.
My favorite thing about that trailer was that on Twitter Galactus was trending and it was like, because nobody knows what Galactus looks like, you idiots, like that. Galactus was trending because nobody knows what he looks like. You should have done a soft goog before you were like, oh my God, Galactus in the trailer. Hashtag Galactus, hashtag MCU. Like,
like give it Ashley, a gentle cursory goog.
That would make sense.
No, we can't do that on the internet.
It's embarrassing.
You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing me. You should feel that. And beside the point. But that trailer coming on and you know, the way that they said it, like, you know, 5 years ago, Thanos erased half of all existence. And, you know, the people on this planet brought them all back with the snap of a finger. And, you know, that's what has caused what does she call it?
Energy?
Not the ascension.
It was really simple.
It was like the awakening or something like that. Anyway, so that event, like, that, I feel like that ties in, you know, to Endgame. I mean, obviously it ties directly into Endgame, but in the exposition part of the trailer, when, you know, because nobody knows who the hell the Eternals are.
Right.
She's like, 7,000 years ago, we came to this planet. And I'm like, 7,000 years? Like, in Shang-Chi, they were just talking about, like, thousands of years ago.
Right?
Like, I think it was 4,000 years ago that the dark beings, the, what do they call them? The soul suckers. The dweller in darkness.
What were their heads? Because I know the bottom is like a squid. It was a Cthulhu, but the heads were something even stupider.
It was like
stupider.
A Cthulhu imp.
Bat squids.
Yeah, bat squids.
That was it.
The bat squids.
It.
They're like, Katie called them the soul suckers, and the mega soul
sucker. The mega soul sucker?
The mega. That
final
nasty.
Boss.
That nasty. That was a.
She just sounded like me the entire time. I really resonated with
when
Katie.
When you said that nasty bitch, I thought you meant the mega soul sucker. But you were talking about Katie.
No, I wasn't.
No, she was quoting.
I was quoting Katie.
Oh, I got to go watch it again. Got to go watch it again.
Oh, darn. Let's go right now.
Yeah, we can't. Thanks a lot, Disney Plus. That's why $12.99 a year doesn't mean shit to you.
I started thinking that the dark creatures actually had something to do with the
I don't know. They had real dark elf energy.
Nope. None of those things.
Jeff's ready. Jeff's ready.
Oh yeah. All right. So I'm gonna throw
here
a
we
little
go.
Comics
buckle
on you.
Up, Sue.
A little comics knowledge on you. The Dweller in Darkness is one of the Lords of Fear, one of the nightmare creatures. Akin to nightmare, akin to despair. He is traditionally
Mephisto.
A Doctor Strange villain.
Nice.
And that's what caught Wong's attention. Dang.
Well, I don't understand why the dad has had those rings for 4,000 years. How come the signal only 1,000?
Yeah.
Okay. either way, how come the signal is only shooting out when, or sending out the when Shang-Chi has it?
Well, it's because...
Tomato, tomato, Jeff.
Okay. I mean, still though, like, if we're using the terms that they said in the movie, that nasty... But no, I would posit that because Wenwu was using the rings in, you know, a way to only gain power, then the way that Shang-Chi used them specifically was to be a protector. And it feels... Oh, my...
He's a sword and the shield.
Yeah, and this was the Avengers. Do you remember when Thor came to Earth and he said that the Tesseract is a beacon to the rest of the universe that the Earth is ready for a higher form of war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what the Ten Rings are in this movie.
To kind of go off of that a little bit, like, this was the first time that the rings were actually used in, like, that magical village as well. So the movements True. That he was learning from his mother's art, it had never been used with the rings in that type of environment before. So I Yeah. think those movements, being able to manifest the energy and manifest the magic, being Yes. used with the rings, essentially for the first time ever, is what caused that signal to go out a little more. Like, that art with the physical rings, like, being joined together for the first time is what... activated yeah. in the way that it did.
And that scene was beautiful when yeah, they fought God. Each other. Ugh.
When he was up in the air over the Dweller in Darkness, and it's like he's grinding the inside of, like, the chest of the thing, and then he's just like, boom! And, like, just locks it in, fucking nails it. Oh my God! I felt the power resonate off of that shit.
I was so worried for that dragon. I was freaking out. It was like, oh God, I really enjoyed that every time. Usually with these movies, sometimes they tie up the bad guy, like, lickety-split real fast.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that there was, like, three different times I was like, okay, it's over. Oh, shit, it's not over.
Oh!
Okay, it's over. Oh, my God, it's not over. The dragon! And then, oh, my God, it's still not over. I appreciate right. that. Like, make it a little bit of a problem.
I appreciate that it was a collective effort, too. Like, it wasn't just Shang-Chi that stopped it. Like, it had to yeah. be Katie and Shang-Chi and the dragon and his sister. Like,
yeah.
And, individually,
and
you saw them get
and
their...
Razor Fist.
And Razor Fist.
We should
is that
work
actually
together.
His name?
Yeah, Razor Fist is the
oh, God.
The character name from the comics. And it was all
it
over
was
his car.
It was a joke that I thought I made up being funny.
Nope. Nope. Wow. That's a, that
it was
a
GG2 reference, but apparently it's real.
His line was my only con in the movie.
Really? Which one?
Because that the yeah, we do need to work together. I was like, wow, didn't see that joke coming a mile away.
I liked it.
I liked it. I ate it up. Like, I'm gonna go ahead and admit I ate it up because, like,
it's like, oh, did Taika Waititi write that one?
Well, like,
could've been. I think at the beginning the humor didn't hit so much, so that's why I was glad that the movie picked up. I was like, what kind of movie is this trying to be
yeah.
right now?
I mean,
they're just said, oh, okay, so we know that she can drive, got it. And like, but my I really appreciate the fact that we just went into him having the powers and knowing not powers but being able to fight and knowing how to use it, instead of this like, I didn't know I could do this, and him having to like right. figure it out. Like, he already knew and we could just keep moving.
Well, I think that it was that he had seen his dad doing it so much that, you know, he knew how his dad used it, and he had this, like, this kind of inner...
I mean, like, his fighting, like, even just being able to fight, like, off the bat, like, he knew exactly, like, on the train.
Oh,
like, we
right.
didn't have to have too long of, like, a backstory.
Oh, on the bus, yeah. That, I love that Katie was like... You think he can fight? Does he look like a guy that can fight? And he just whoops ass.
I know.
Straight up and down whoops ass.
That scene was so awesome.
It was
they did
so...
it really well.
I like that they put that story of, like, when she first met him, it was like the dude was about to hit Shang-Chi, and that's when she stepped in and started singing Katy Perry or whatever it was. So, like, she's never had the impression that...
Hotel California.
Hotel California.
Oh,
I was
sorry.
Like...
The Eagles. a little oh, wow. bit older than Katy Perry, I'm sorry.
So the fact that, like, she had to share that story of her stepping in. Like, she's never had the impression of him being a fighter, and then she's because of that, he's never had the opportunity to show that he could fight, because he never really needed it in front of her. So it's just like,
at least around her, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he could have been in a Fight Club underground for all we know. You know,
he could have
fresh.
Been attacked on multiple times because his dad knew where he was all along.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he did say, like, he did say to his dad, "How'd you find me?" He's like, "I always knew where my children were." Like, oh.
God, so good. He's such a good villain.
So why were the dad's rings blue energy and his yellow energy? Just because of their different energy?
Well, yeah, it's because the intent of using them changes the effect that they have. Like, the way that Shang-Chi used them was like incredibly vastly different from the way Wenwu used them. When Wenwu used them, it was very straightforward. Like, everything was attack, attack, straight line.
You keep saying Wu, and it's so confusing for people who don't know the name.
Sorry. Okay. So, his dad.
Yeah.
Wenwu.
Wenwu would be better than Wu, since we have Wu.
I've been saying Wenwu. Anyway.
Oh, but you're like, when Wu uses his...
No, it's Wenwu. Okay, so when his dad uses the rings, everything is straight lines, very forward, you know, kind of a...
Can I make my Avatar reference? Can I please make my Avatar reference?
I mean, I'm not going to get it.
So, to make Zhu's Avatar reference for him, his dad's Fire Nation, and Shang-Chi is water or air, even.
Well, the
very
colors are wrong, then.
And... Say it. Do it. Do it. Animation deliberation.
When he's not using his rings, like when he's fourfold, yes, Fire Nation. When he's doing the whip stuff, him and his daughter are both Water Tribe, because it's very fluid. It's very I wish this wasn't a podcast.
They use water whips a lot.
Yeah, they use whips a lot, and then the flowy nature is air. So he learns that motion more. It's more of the I don't want to keep saying flowy motion, because it's...
Fluid motion.
Fluid, yes. It's...
Whatever.
It's more direct. It's more of keeping momentum rolling. It's about keeping your pace, keeping your motions. Wasn't much Earth style stuff here. But yeah, there was so much Avatar stuff. And then when he started getting the rings and, like, mixing the stuff together, I was like, he is the true Avatar now.
Well, like, that's the thing. When his dad was using them, it was attack, straightforward. Everything was a straight line in the way that he did it. When Shang-Chi got him, the first thing that you saw happen was they flowed around him in a circle, like a shield. And that's mostly
how he looked like Sonic when you catch all those rings.
Yeah, when he gets all the rings.
That's all I could see.
So, like, he had the rings going around him, and it was very fluid and open. God, I hate to reference this movie, but has anybody seen The One with Jet Li?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the last two Jet Lis that were in it? The one that was the attacker was like straight line, and one that was defending was all fluid motion, open big circles.
Lots of momentum riding.
Whenever they got into Wow, Big Daddy Dove said the exact same goddamn thing I just said. Whenever they were in the final fight in the I think it was in a factory, when they were on the catwalk, it was all like a straight line that they could do all of their fighting in. So the attacker Jet Li version, whichever, I forget his name, that guy was doing better when it was just that straight back and forth. But when they had on the floor a big open area, the guy who could do the big circles or focused on the big circles and flowing motion did better. Like, it's just, there's so much story and characterization just in their fighting styles and the way that they use the rings. And I think that, like, not just being a VFX choice to be like good guy, bad guy, not just being a VFX choice, but like to properly characterize the style and that they use this tool in. That's why they're different colors.
And the cinematography. Oh my God.
Yeah. I was just saying those blue ones are better than the yellow ones. I like those blue ones. They looked really cool.
They all looked super freaking cool.
Yeah. I'm partial to the blue. I'll take those in blue, please.
The name of the guy in the mask that trained Shang-Chi is the Death Dealer.
The Death Dealer. He got dealt some death.
Oh, yeah.
I love that they just took his straight out. Like, he used to be scary. No, Soul Sucker. Just popped that bitch right out.
The Fu Lions were so badass.
Yeah, I loved his fight scene so much. I was like, oh, I want to be like him.
The Fu Lions were so awesome.
I don't know what those are.
We'll find out.
Maybe we should find out on the next episode of Legends and Libations.
What were those cool-looking big dog cats?
An advertisement.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Shameless plug.
Okay, so for the Twitch, so I can just have my moment. The food dogs like represent, like they're the structures that kind of guard the entrance of whatever you're going into. And throughout the film, there were actually a lot of them in front of doors, like throughout the movie. The one that holds the ball is always a male and a female, and the one that holds the ball is the male that symbolizes structure. And then there's the female that guards the cub or the puppy, depending if you're calling it a dog or a lion, to show like nourishment and protection. And they come together to guard the entrance of like whatever their home is. So the fact that it was at the doors, and then in the final scene when they were standing up, you could see the gate far in the background, and the dogs were actually on the left and right of them. So the fact that they actually had it to the entrance of the gate that they were protecting in, like, the final showdown was like, wow. They showed the statues, like, 3-4 times, but to have the living ones, like, in that moment of actually, like, showing it where they're supposed to be was like, oh, attention to detail. So beautiful. So well done.
And I, like, speaking more on the Foo... Was it Foo Lions? Foo Dogs?
People call them Foo Dogs, but they're technically Foo Lions.
I mean, they looked like lions, but also they looked like dogs.
Yeah.
Speaking more on those, the Foo creatures. I'm just talking about in this movie now. Like, they were gorgeous. I love the way that they moved. I love the way that they were animated. I love the way that they fought. I love the way that they got into, like, when everybody was fighting against the Soul Sucker creatures, like, you know, the guys ran up the scales on the shield, hit the thing, and flung it over into the lion's mouth, and the lion's like, ah, nom, 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 nom. It just tears the shit up. I love that. I love that they got into it like that.
The fact that we saw part of that in the trailer too, and still had that moment of, oh my god, that was awesome, was...
Yeah.
Yes, you did well done. And the fact that the first time we see them, they're just laying on their side, sunbathing while everyone's working, is like, oh, you guys are so cute.
Oh, what with
chicken pig?
Yeah, with the chicken pigs.
Chicken pig was so cute.
It's Morris. A weird horse. Why is it staring at me?
Oh, I guess we should segue to the Trevor of it all, or people just would not forgive us.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's going to forgive us if we don't mention Trevor. You know what? I will go ahead and say it as the one... main person here that still to this day does not like Iron Man 3. I feel like Trevor, the character of Trevor Slattery, has been redeemed.
100%.
I am okay with Trevor Slattery's continued existence in this universe because he had growth and became somebody I liked. He had growth. That's all I can really say about him. It's like he had a character arc off screen.
He had my favorite line in the entire movie. He was like, "What's wrong with that horse?"
It's a weird looking horse.
I was nervous to see him, but God, I loved every second of it.
When I heard the sound, it was like, you know, it's somebody down the hallway going, I'm like, oh, it's Trevor.
He's like, I press them with my Shakespeare.
Yes. Insomniatic Prado was like, I love when they tried to electrocute the lions and she just wasn't having it.
Yep. She's like, no.
Oh.
When I heard Trevor down the hall, I was like, oh no. Oh no. Not again. Not like this. And then it ended up being, oh my lord, it ended up being that Ben Stiller character in Tropic Thunder thing where like... He did the Macbeth and they ate it up. And then he just went with it. He understood why he had gotten to this position. Like,
he's a survivor.
Yeah. Well, like, if he had continued with the whole, like, nah, sorry, I don't know who you are. Not getting it. Sorry. Like, if he just kept doing that bullshit, I would have hated him still. But because he knew where he came from, he knew what got him to the point that he was in and was just like, you know, I'm just trying to survive here doing Shakespeare.
Like, they love my Hamlet.
Yeah, so you're the jester?
Yeah.
And then he...
The producer, the producer hired me to be a terrorist. Turns out the producer was a terrorist.
Yeah, it was all real.
So yeah, I
went to jail.
because he got to have that understanding of himself and why he was bad. I love him. Like, and then he got to be the translator for Morris, and it was so funny. Like,
Sir, you Ben guys Kingsley, can see him?
Yeah, yes!
You guys can see him, I'm not crazy.
He was so relieved. Why doesn't it have a face? No, he's very sensitive about that.
She's very sensitive about that.
Chicken
Ben
pig.
Kingsley is a legend. Like, all that whole, all of it that he was in is a credit to that man's talent. Like, he is amazing. I'm so glad that they brought him back. Honestly, I am. Like, I'm so glad that they brought him back to give him some actual real to do on screen.
The apes weren't riding horses. They were just acting.
I love that they gave us that little explanation for Iron Man 1, 2. That Iron didn't sound. One as well. Like, when he was like, oh, a terrorist had taken up my thing and stole and was buying weapons from Tony Stark. Like, we tied everything up in a pretty bow in this.
Yep.
With the continuity.
Yes, yeah. And I love that... I love that there was that conversation at the dinner table of like, he appropriated my image, and because he didn't know my name, he made one up. And you know what he called it?
A chicken dish.
A chicken dish.
They were afraid of an orange.
They were afraid of an orange, and it worked.
Like that whole scene, Katie was just terrified. Yep. And I was honestly, like, I was with her in that moment of just, like, him being so peaceful. Like, she was warned, like, not to speak unless spoken to type of thing. And him explaining that whole thing, like, I wasn't even, I couldn't laugh at that. I was just like, yeah, like, for you to be a 4,000-year-old conqueror, I could see the slight offense in that moment.
Yeah, I could see. And, like, names being so important to him, like, oh... He might have decimated everyone.
He built that reputation, and for it to be like, I'm sorry to say, but like the fact that they like Americanized what he was and what his impression was and that persona that he's built for himself, like he's meant to be feared. And the fact that somebody decided to be like, hey, let's borrow this thing and make people scare us. We're like, oh no, you are not doing my name like that.
Yeah. And like you say he was meant to be scared. Like, you know, he's meant to be feared. I felt fearful every time he was on screen. Like, when he was talking like he was, you know, a nice dad and, like, a family man, I was like, no, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong.
I think Hero ruined him for me because I just know he's such a nice guy. Tony Leung, he's so nice.
He is such a nice guy.
He just looks like a nice guy.
Not in this. He looked cunning. And he looked like he had a plot for everything.
He looked heartbroken.
He did look heartbroken.
Man, I loved his story so much. There was so much well-done character development in such a short time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there really was. Like, that fight, or I can't even call it that. It was a dance when he got shown up by his lady for the first time. And
she, like, was the best.
Really put him in his place. I was just like, oh girl, okay. Like, my goodness. like when they had that happen and you know, they kept going back to that and kind of like flashbacks, and like he brought a bento box for them, and they had a little picnic in the little glen there, and you know, then the next time he comes back, they're running away together. Like, it felt like, I hate to reference another animated film with Ashley here, sorry, but it felt like the intro to Up when Carl.
Oh yes,
right. Like when Carl and his
late wife,
his late wife. That's the term. Thank you. When Carl and his late wife, yeah, when Carl and his late wife were going through, you know, their introduction to each other and then their life and building up. Like it felt like that. And it felt like that level of storytelling where, like, you mm-hmm. don't have to give us a whole bunch of dialogue. You don't have to show us their whole life, but just, like, give us little snippets to know, yeah. you know, they're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. And the peaceful way that they talked about it made you think that she got sick or something. I was under the impression mm-hmm. she, like, died of an illness the whole time because they were just yeah. so casual. But, like, yeah, when your mother passed away, no, she was murdered. She took out yeah. a bunch of dudes before she went down, but she was murdered.
Yeah, I was worried that, like,
I wasn't ready for that scene.
Mm-mm. Like, when oh, man. When she sent the kids away, I was like, and he's going to come back. And I was like, it's either going to be she just gives herself up. Like, she kneels down in front of him. It's like, you know, do the thing. I'll see you in a year. No, wait, that's the Green Knight.
Don't put me to sleep. I'm already tired. Don't even invoke that name.
I was like, it's going to go one of two ways. Either she's going to kneel down and, you know, take the thing and, like, give herself up for it, or she's going to fight them and she will probably die. And I was like, I don't know which one it's going to be. Like, I'm, you know, doing that peeking thing where, like, I don't want to see it, but I want to see it. And then when it showed her laying on the ground, the first thing I did was look around and I was like, one, yeah, two, three, four, five. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's all of them. It's all of them.
It's all of them.
Because, like, they brought in a lot of dudes. And she was like, all right.
I thought she was going to beat all of them up and just be like, this is why my style is better than your dad's.
Oof.
Nope. She died.
Nope.
She should have gone and gotten the rings. I mean, I don't understand how you know they're sitting in a box in there and you didn't go get them.
Dad leaves his gun in the case in here.
Yeah, I'll be right back, yeah. mother.
Give me just a moment, guys. I'll be right with you.
Yeah. Kids, take the tunnels, get out, and I'll be right back.
I'm going to be honest, guys.
Dez
I want.
Troy.
Yeah, Dez and Troy. I want those rings to wear on my arms forever, but I want a set of blue and a set of yellow.
Depending on how you felt that day.
Well, no, like five of each. Just
yeah,
to have.
I want to go yellow, blue, like interchangeable.
Like you're going to a rave? Yeah. An Ahsoka Tano rave? Tons.
I don't need them to glow. I just want them to be pretty.
The Abomination thing was fun. It seems like he's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing okay for himself.
Yeah, I mean, they were having, you know, a normal conversation at the end of the fight, so.
Well, we got a reveal.
Just dropping in to make some money?
Yeah, we got a reveal that he and Wong have their own thing. It's like a dance that they do together. Like,
yeah.
You know, you said you were going to agree to pull your punches.
Yeah.
Next time,
cheaters.
Do it like we agree. I love the way that Wong won. Oh, my God.
I feel like Wong has always been a little bit upset about Doctor Strange telling him, like, you don't have any money. I'm like, ugh, I got to buy you another tuna fish sandwich.
Right.
And now he goes and he's like, maybe that's where he's going. He's like, I'll be right back. I got to go win money and bring it back.
That's,
you know, I'm not
exactly
gonna tell you
what I was
doing.
Thinking. He just wants his bagels.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll see.
I can pay for my own tuna fish salad, doctor.
It's like, yes, I'll see if they can make you a metaphysical ham on rye. And he's just like, oh, that's how it is? Okay.
Oh, a tuna melt. Excuse me for the people who are already typing.
To a tuna melt.
Yeah.
I feel like in that 5 years, Wong has been like, all right.
Fine, I'll pull my own weight, which he should.
Which. I love it. I love
Get a
the,
job.
I love also that Wong looks haggard. In that, like, when we see him, like, obviously he didn't get snapped away, and he has, Like, obviously he didn't get snapped away, and he has been, you know, dealing with the world over 5 years, and it has aged him. It has affected him, and you could see it on his face. But what's your
Speaking of haggard, which is a perfect word for it, why did Bruce Banner look like he was 65 years old, and why did he look like Bruce Banner?
That's a good question. Why did he revert to Banner?
And he looked, like, really old. Like, I don't know if Ruff was like, no makeup, I'm fine. But he had gray hair, and he just looked very old.
He had his arm in the sling.
I feel like, isn't that forever?
I don't know. It might be a forever thing. I mean, if it is...
Because he tried to bring back Widow, it would, like, extra messed him up.
I mean...
I thought that's what they said at the end.
Yeah, well, I think that he said that because... Like, his thought was that because he tried to bring back Nat... It, like, denied him and screwed up his arm or whatever. Mm. But, like, I think that's just using the stones that does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Thanos' arm was pretty jacked up after Infinity War, too.
And Thanos was just like, fuck them all.
My logistic conclusion was that they didn't want to pay for the CGI. My headcanon was that he was getting surgery done, but they couldn't do it on the Hulk. So he had to go back to Banner so that they could, like, try to fix his arm.
Oh, maybe.
Or.
He did look really old, though.
Or.
It's weird.
It's not that he had to get surgery done. It's that he had to be a blood donor for his cousin.
Mm. Yeah.
Jennifer Walters.
That's
She-Hulk,
a good setup.
Who is getting a series next year.
Yeah. I would also want to be able to switch back and forth just in case, because it's like you can't ever just, like, sneak around anywhere if you're always mid-Hulk. Yeah, like, he's not, like, you know, full Hulk, he's mid-Hulk.
Right.
Like, being able to go from mid-Hulk to Banner would be nice.
Yeah.
And if anybody could figure that out, it would be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he looked haggard, like, he looked like it's aged him, too.
Yeah, you look tired, bro.
I mean, I didn't get to really examine it, but I was like, good grief, Ruff, sit in the makeup chair.
His hair was a bit longer, too.
So was Carol's.
I think part of it is that part of the like, we couldn't tell, you know, what his look was because he was in the
like the hollow projection.
Yeah, like the hollow projection panel thing. And Carol was like, oh, I got to take this. Bye.
She looked cute.
Yeah.
I was excited to see her.
I don't.
Yeah,
she does
she
this
just
a
does
lot.
That.
But also, like. The Avengers they had, like, their little security council of, like, taking care of things after the snap, like we saw at the beginning of Endgame. So I'm wondering if they're, like, just so exhausted dealing with the ramifications of everybody coming back. Like, they've continued that duty of theirs that they just, like, don't get any sleep. You know, things are coming back. Things are just chaotic everywhere. And Banner's just like, I have no time to sleep.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's trying to solve everything.
It's weird.
Kind of
we have no idea
now for the planet.
Yeah,
is this supposed to be after Endgame?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, because the couple that they were talking to, Shang-Chi and Katie,
talked about the
when they were, like, at the beginning of the movie, she was like, "This is a, you know, we live in a world now where half the population can just disappear at a moment's notice." Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not the kind of thing that you just kind of make up.
Yeah, I will know. Yeah, it's just great. We have that 5-year gap in Endgame that we just have no idea what happened during that or what.
Like, there was such an opportunity here to have Shang-Chi be, like, the hero that rose to take on the mantle of a hero while everybody was gone. But, you know, it's fine. I'll be okay.
Do what you want.
Do what you want, Marvel. But I'm telling you right now, Marvel, Moon Knight is the best opportunity for you to do that. I feel like I'm looking at Kevin Feige right now, just like...
He's just like...
Do it.
Avoiding eye contact. He's like, nope.
No. Like, do it. Okay, so... God, we have rambled a lot, and I feel like we could continue to ramble for another 3 hours, but, like... Ashley needs to go to bed. She looks
covered
so
a lot.
You just look like you're dragging.
It happened. It's 11:20.
It's very late for you. That's kind of why I was
fine.
All right, let's let's bring it to a close soon, maybe. I don't know. But, like, is there anything that we've missed? Is there anything that we need to cover that we haven't covered yet?
For sure. And the people will tell us in the emails.
God, the people will tell us.
Email your feedback to mcucast@gmail.com.
You know, I feel like when we saw the trailer and we saw the fight between Death Dealer and Shang-Chi, when like they did the knife flip and he grabbed the knife out of you know, out of the air, I feel like that was the biggest fight moment that we saw in the trailer, and we were like chomping at the bit for that. But then when it happened, and then when all the rest of the sequences happened, like that one just fell by the wayside. Like, psh, that was nothing. That was nothing.
I'm very grateful.
It looked really cool.
It did look really cool. And, like, they both did it. They both grabbed a knife out of midair. Like, it was so good.
Perfect.
It was so good.
Perfect.
Like, I've made a lot of grunting noises. Like, oh, my God.
I was really grateful for that because that kind of set the standard for, like, how well done the martial arts was going to be. And the fact that it, like, blew my expectations off the roof was just incredible. Like, every fight scene was so well done and so beautiful. Like, in the last scene where he had his staff versus the rings, and you could clearly see, like, when the ring was shooting off and where it was being redirected. And, like, you know that this is CGI, but, like, in the staff, like, staffs are bendy. They're meant to, like, kind of, like, go back. They had that detail in there. Every time he hit a ring or hit the other person, like, you saw those natural bends. I was like, you put that much detail into CGI? Like, holy crap.
It's important. I love that they're doing it.
Yeah, the attention to detail is phenomenal in this film. And, like, to go more on the staff, like, the middle of the staff is the part that bent. The part that was, like, crusted with dragon scales didn't. It was just, like, fire and anger and power. And just... it felt so visceral. Like, everything that the dragon stuff did, like all the arrows that got shot, the rope dart. Oh my God, the Kusarigama and rope dart that she had was like, it was such a badass thing. And here I go again mentioning freaking animated things, but this is an animated thing that is badass. I was getting,
you couldn't go Kill Bill with it.
No, I was getting real, real strong Castlevania vibes.
Yep. I figured that's where you were going.
It was not only because of the whip, and like the whip in Castlevania looking just as badass as this, which, like, props to those animators, but the story of, like, he lived, like, Wenwu lived this life of, like, killing whoever he felt like conquering, and then he met a lady and she changed him and he decided to hang up the rings. He had children with said lady, and then something happened to make lady die, and then he goes nuts. And then it's the kids that have to come back and put a stop to him. Like, straight up Castlevania season 1 and 2.
Not only that, the son had to watch him go nuts for the first time after having it hung up for so long. Like, he thought that he saw evil when his mom died. He was more scared of his dad than he was watching his mother pass away.
I guess plug for Netflix's Castlevania. If you haven't seen that anime, it's great.
Don't watch it with your kids.
Don't watch it with your kids. Jesus Christ, don't watch it with your kids.
Definitely watch it with your kids. She reminded me of Kimiko from Kill Bill, the first one. Gogo Dane. You never saw Kill Bill?
No.
Ugh.
Like parts of it.
That's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. I didn't watch whatever you guys were just talking about. Let's move on.
Okay.
So one of the other things I really appreciated was when Katie fired the arrow, it wasn't like they panned to her and it was like that stoic face of like, yeah, I got it. I was confident. She was like, oh shit, I actually hit it.
Yeah. Oh God, I nailed it.
And she was like, I only learned this a day ago. Like, she was genuinely surprised she got it. And I was like, I'm so glad they did that, because that would have been the talk of like, oh, you only practiced archery for a day and you got it. She was like, oh no. Oh man, her like bow and arrow teacher dying right away too, which is like, aim for the throat, and then it gets a soul. I was like, no. How
I mean,
are you
I definitely...
making me feel for characters that have only had two lines of dialogue in a 2-hour movie?
The second they handed her the arrow and bow, I was like, okay, so she's going to do the big thing at the end.
Yeah,
right. I mean, they just laid it out.
Yeah, she's going to be instrumental to the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
And...
oh, we didn't talk about the post-credit scene.
Okay.
Where Xia Ling.
Xia Ling.
What a
boss. Yeah, it's starting, you know.
Not just the, like, what a boss.
Deadly
but, like,
Viper assassination gang. Yeah.
Like, she... Okay. Thank you, Marvel. I'm going to put this out because I know Kevin Feige's watching and listening. Thank you.
$5 on the pate.
Thank you, Mr. Feige, for giving us three-dimensional characters that have such depth to them and their own motivations. She went along with Shang-Chi and... like, she went along with him to go to the village and help to defend, you know, against these dark beings, and she did all the stuff there. But then, you know, when it's time to, like, let's get back to the world, you know, she had that one phrase that she specifically said, if Dad wasn't going to include me in his empire, I was going to make my own.
Yeah.
So now
she's
that there's a
boss
vacuum.
Bitch.
Now that there's a vacuum, she's taking that shit over and she's mm-hmm. being a boss. Holy crap.
Yeah, she looked great in that chair. She even had, like, the gangster lean back.
She
looked good.
She had that swagger lean. I was like,
oh, yeah.
She had all the ladies, and the graffiti on the building was, like, the ladies. I was very excited about it.
I love Ronnie Chen. He was so perfect in that, too. Just like, you were
the
He's
my
the
favorite. I love him. It was like a crazy... what was... him and Awkwafina were both in Crazy Rich Asians, right? I love it.
Yep.
He's the best.
And then... She had her dialogue of, like, watching the other women train. It's like, yeah, we're equal over here. Mm-hmm. We learn together. But after that line, and she has, like, her swag moment of sitting on her throne, they back out. The first thing you see is women training across from the guys.
Yeah. It's not...
I was like, oh, well,
yeah, it's
done.
Amazing.
Like, the inclusiveness is amazing. Like, they did the martial arts justice. They were using the Chinese language of Mandarin as much as they could. They gave women character, like, actual story, and, like, I like it when they actually give them something, like, they earn their badass mm-hmm. roles. They did a very good job of her just being, like, I'm sorry to say this, Ashley, cut me off if you need to, but, like, when it's, like, oh, I'm awesome because I'm a woman type thing, it's just kind of, like, okay. But it's, like, I'm a very well-developed character that has... you know, good character development and motive and training, and I just happen to be a woman. Like, that is what I feel like MCU does that stands out from other properties that try to make very feminine characters, because, like, she earned everything mm-hmm. that she had.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a fantastic job of, like, showing her as the badass that she, like, worked herself out to
be. I do have to... not disagree with you, but point out a flaw in one part of the logic of the, you know, the MCU does this so well thing. There was that moment in Endgame where she's not alone.
Why do you got to bring it up,
and
man?
Then we
can
had
we
that
just
moment.
Like?
I'm sorry.
Can we just let that go?
Since
you know, I brought
since
this
that
up.
Moment.
Why do you
I
want me to yell? It's 11:28.
No, hold up. It's so funny that you do this, because I made the same point on Animation Deliberation. Selfless. When I was talking about Captain Carter.
It's like your third show.
Whatever. I said the exact same thing when I was talking about Captain Carter, but I also didn't have, like, a woman in front of me, too, so I was kind of nervous that somebody would take it the wrong way. And Jay Scotty brought up the exact same thing. He's like, except for that Endgame scene. It's funny that it's happening on the sister
show. I'm not going to scream about it, because I just always do. But you all know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think, Ashley, you feel about it the way that we all feel, of, like, that was very unnecessary. Especially with that particular character. Like, cool, she could be alone, she could be not alone. She's the strongest f***ing person in the universe.
She didn't need anybody's help.
She doesn't need a goddamn one of those people. There
I'm
we
gonna
go
start
again.
Yelling. Oh my god, I'm just
we're
yell.
The worst. We can't. Okay.
But yeah, overall, I loved her character development. I'm so excited to see more of her, whether it be a series or in the movie. But She is so.
I love
it. And we know we're getting it.
Yay. Yeah. Oh, God. Yes. The Ten Rings will return.
Like, you're goddamn right. Return.
And it wasn't just on the black screen. Like, they actually had like, a banner in the back and had.
That
the
compound
text
is so bad.
It wasn't even, like, it wasn't the old banner either. Like, it's been updated. Like, she updated that banner.
She
like,
put a little all, flare.
Like, yeah, she put her own flare on it. It was all, like, it was visceral. It was, like, running colors. It was red and black. And, like, everything about it was just so goddamn good.
It makes me think of that M.I.A. song that the bad girls do it well. If they would have just started playing that song, I would have been in heaven.
Right. Yes. Yes. Okay. So we're over the hour mark on our initial reaction cast. Sorry that Matt couldn't be on this episode. He was at Dragon Con this weekend. Thank you so much to Ashley and Zoo for being here. Zoo, your input on, you know, the martial arts side of things and cultural differences is... I didn't know that I would get as much out of having you here as I did. And I'm very thankful that you were here for us. And Ashley, it's a goddamn pleasure as always.
That guy, yeah.
Zoo, do you want to plug anything before we go?
You know, it's funny. I thought I was going to be on the show for the first time when What If came up. But thank you for your words. I'm really glad that I got to be on for the first time to actually talk about something that's dear to me, which is martial arts, and I'm glad, even as an immigrant, as an Asian immigrant, that I could give my input and my relationship to, like, how I felt watching this movie, because a lot of the family stuff they cover, too, when she was like, sorry, I can't make you proud, I was like, oh, yeah, I felt that with my community and my family, and my, it's like, hey, you're gonna be a failure, because you're gonna be a photographer, so, yeah, that movie definitely hit hard on the cultural stuff. In regards to the plug, Animation Deliberation, with J. Scotty St. Clair, we cover animated content, which often gets overlooked. There's a lot of properties out there that have wonderful storytelling, but nobody watches because cartoons
are
for
kids.
Hey, man,
I'm right here.
Ouch.
Jesus Christ. See if I let you produce again. This is your first and last time on the MCU cast. You can guarantee that. Keep going.
Animation Deliberation, check us out. We're doing What If. We finished our cover of Bad Batch. We're excited for the Star Wars Visions trailer. There's a lot of stuff that we want to talk about there. On the anime end, we got Demon Slayer and My Hero Academia coming out at the end of this year.
Both of those.
Tune in anywhere that you find your podcasts.
Yes.
Hey, despite how much Ashley doesn't like animation, she's going to do the Gamora episode with
us.
Oh,
yeah.
So
I am. I'm going to do it. Right. Why not? I'm going to be on.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on this journey. Go see it again. Go see it over and over again, because I'm going to.
Okay.
This movie was so freaking good. Man. Check all the shows out. Like we mentioned in that ad at the beginning of the episode, check all the shows out and give them a rating. Go to that link. Check all the shows out. Drop reviews everywhere, win prizes, you know how it goes. And, you know, like, thanks for coming, everybody.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here. I'm just, I love this. It's so fun. Anyway.
And it's like, we just got to the top of the roller coaster, and once November hits, we're just going down, baby. Movie after movie after movie. I can't wait.
Oh, like.
Roller coaster, going down is the fun part.
Down's the fun part. Okay. Because, you know,
I'm tired.
Downhill, but then also going down.
I'm just going to be like, wee!
That's usually what you do when we're... Never mind.
Peace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is it that Matt says? Peace. Until next time, true believers.
Bye!
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.